All right, by now you know that I'm happy to be Seventh-day Adventist. And that in spite of the fact that I'm third-generation Adventist. According to sociological studies, I'm supposed to be very critical and rebellious. Third generation and on, those are troublemakers. But there are two ways in which we can become very happy about our church. And that is when we go through persecution or when we get involved in evangelism. Church needs new blood. And through persecution, our blood is rejuvenated. And through new baptisms, the blood of the church gets renewed as well. And our church will remain young, and our commitment to Christ will remain young if we get engaged in these two things. Now, I'm going to share with you something, and this is, again, a personal story. And I'm just hoping I didn't talk about Barbara at the camp meeting. It's a story about Barbara. Well, I was, I don't know how old I was, about maybe 15 or so, 14. And it was a recess. I was in seventh grade. And I was very lonely. And my self-esteem was on zero. Nobody chose me for any games. No soccer. No basketball, no volleyball. No one even mocked me. That's really lonely. And nobody talked to me. And there were four main reasons for that. I was poor. First of all, I was poor. And I was wearing my mother's socks. And one was pink and one green. Because I had no money. And I was 14 or so. So that was horrible humiliation. Secondly, I was shy because I was repeating the seventh grade. I failed first time. Thirdly, I was a newcomer. I lived in Croatia. I was born and lived in Croatia. And then my mother moved us to Serbia. So the language is different, especially specialized mathematics, physics, chemistry, language is different. So I was confused. But also it was different enough between Croatia and Serbia. I moved from Croatia to Serbia because I failed the seventh grade. And I failed the seventh grade because I had A's in almost all classes except in mathematics, because my communist mathematics teacher scheduled all exams in mathematics on Saturday. And when the year was over, I had zero, and you lost the year. That's just tough luck. And besides that, I was a religious person. I was Seventh-day Adventist. I was not going on Sabbath to church, to school. So that was an object of ridicule, and so I didn't feel good. Now, in the seventh grade, like usually in seventh grades, there were clubs. There were clubs of those who are rich, those who are smart, those who are charmers, those who are athletes, those who are bullies, and the club of flunkies. I know that's not English, my wife told me, but you understand what I mean. And I fit perfectly in the last club. I was good nobody, impressive failure. That's how I felt. So there I was, watching basketball game, and thinking how I would do much better and so on. And all of a sudden, Barbara comes. Now, Barbara was the most beautiful girl in school. Over 700 students. Grade school, 8th grade. And she was the most beautiful. She was in our class, 7th grade. She was an excellent student. And there was another girl, excellent student, and another boy, excellent student. There were three of them. And she comes and she says, hi. And I look at her and I cannot believe to be in proximity of somebody like this. So I mumbled something. And then she started to engage me in conversation. She says, tell me about Croatia. So I started to tell her about Croatia. And, you know, in Yugoslavia, Croatia really owns the all Adriatic Sea. Beautiful resort. So I told her a little bit about Croatia and so on, and then she asked the horrible question, why did you fail seventh grade? So then I told her that I'm Seventh-day Adventist, that I don't go on Sabbath to school. Why? Because Scripture says so, and because I believe so. And she became angry at the math teacher in Croatia. And we talked about different things, and pretty soon I forgot that she was beautiful. She was a nice person. And then the stupid bell. Some people are saved, some are damned by the bell. Don't tell my wife I use the word. So as people were getting ready to go in, she said, Miroslav, let's be friends. Good friends, she says, very good friends. Boy, oh boy. I tried to avoid her, but she would not. She looked at me and she says, would you like to be friends with me? Now, I remember Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and rejoice, young man, in your youth, but remember. In any case, I don't know if I answered her anything. We went to the classroom. I was stunned the whole day. Went home, I was in a daze. And I started analyzing the situation. I said to myself, why me? I'm not tall. I'm not handsome. I'm not... And there are these rich and capable young men. And this was, you know, there were three classrooms for each grade. Our school was what they call the... How would you call it? They always tried new programs on our school. There were about six schools in entire country of Yugoslavia, and our school was that. And I remember when we were forced to study for 1 year Esperanto. You know what Esperanto is? That was an attempt to make one language for the entire earth. I forgot everything about Esperanto. And I don't know it was successful. It was evidently not a successful thing. I went home and I asked myself, why me? I'm poor and shy and newcomer and Seventh-day Adventist and flunk, and I'm weird to them, and I have my mother's socks. So nothing recommended me to Barbara. And then I said to myself, she will not get much from me anyway. She was non-Seventh-day Adventist. She will not get one dance, one movie from me, not one kiss, not one party, not one date. So why bother? She knows that I'm Adventist. She knows about my style. She's beautiful, popular, intelligent. She doesn't need me. This is a pale illustration of how God loves us. Pale illustration. His beauty, I don't know how many Barbaras cannot match. But he loves us. He receives so many embarrassments per second. Shame, betrayals, disappointments. And yet he loves us. Is it in Jeremiah 31? I loved you with everlasting love. So I was thinking about this about 4 years ago. I remembered Barbara 4 years ago. Before that, I didn't think about her. Because I went to Yugoslavia, and I went to the town where I was doing my 7th, 8th grade and my high school. And I found out that the other guy who was an excellent student is the engineer in post office. So I went to see him. So then I asked him about other friends, and he told me that not Barbara, but the other girl that was also an excellent student is in a town not far in the direction where I was going from here. And gave me her phone number, and I called her, and she and her husband were ready there for me. And when you visit people in Yugoslavia, you have to eat. You must be hungry. Either that, or if you're not hungry, you are going to carry a burden in front of you. Pastors usually have a problem with that, because you have to eat. And so she brought out the pictures. And I saw the picture, and I saw Barbara. And when I left that girl's, that lady's place now, I remember the whole story about her. You know, when we don't give him room in the inn, why didn't he cash his return ticket? Why did he stay by? Why did he bother to flee to Egypt, to wander homeless, to be betrayed, sold by friends, abandoned even by God? Let me ask you, would you marry a girl if you knew she would commit adultery? Would you have children if you knew you will have one child and he is going to be a criminal? Barbara didn't know that she will get no kiss and no dance from me. But God knew. You know the song, "Did You Know That Those You Love Would Do You Harm?" Little Jesus. He knew it. Barbara took risk, but God cannot take risks. He knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning. When we destroy his reputation and embarrass him, that's no news to him. Love is the worst business transaction we ever make. Imagine children, how much they cost. You know, I thought by the time they finish college, it's going to be okay. Some other people tell me it gets more and more expensive. And then there is Jeremiah 31. And then there is Ezekiel chapter 16. You know the story. God passing by the field and finds a child just born, bathing in blood. And he goes out of his way and picks that baby up tenderly, carefully, and washes the baby and feeds the baby and dresses the baby, and educates the baby. And we don't have time to read chapter 16 in Ezekiel, but it says that she grew up, and in one place she says, "You became beautiful with my beauty." You know, just the girl that you have a taste for. The right kind of person. But she was corrupted. And verses 45 to 47 are very, very pitiful verses. He says that nations around Israel were involved in abominations. Ammonites, they sacrificed children to Moloch. Hittites indulged in orgies. Other nations around homosexuality and sexual worships. Israel eclipsed them all. Verse 47 says, that Israel adopted all of those things from others, imported in Israel and practiced them. He knew it when he passed by that field. So why did he waste his love on Israel? Bible records many famous blunders that took advantage of God's love. Abraham, Jacob, David, Solomon, Peter, Cain, Samson, Judas. I was born too late to be included. So why? Love does not pay. It's bad business. Scrooge had it right. And he said, love, wife, children, humbug. Only one reason. He knew that love doesn't pay, but he also knows that love is never wasted. Love is never wasted. Because I recall what happened, I went home and all of a sudden, I was happy and I was whistling. And my mother says, what happened to you? What did you eat? What did you swallow? But I was happy. And then the days passed and I started studying. Until then, I was nobody. But now, I was Barbara's friend to envy of all handsome and rich young men. And I hit the books. Mama and pastor and family were pushing me and trying to shame me and try to bribe me. Didn't work. She touched me at my lowest moment in life. And I belonged to the club of flunks, and they were smoking and they were drinking and pornography. There was all kinds of things, and I was almost ready to subscribe to some of this kind of stuff when she came. It has changed my life that I didn't even notice. Because in touching me, she touched my self-concept, my identity. I forgot my slippers and my shyness and my stupidity. And I was a student in the sixth grade. Just when I got that math teacher, I was a flunk. And all of a sudden, the teacher would ask question and I would raise, very timidly, I would raise hand. And the teachers would avoid me, not to embarrass me. And sometimes when nobody had the answer and my hand was up and I gave the right answer, that was a shock, which is an insult, you know. It was insult to me. But Barbara looked back and smiled. And then I forgot the insult. How little, very little, it takes to change human life. And how many, very many people don't know what love is. Love doesn't pay, but it's never wasted. She never realized the full extent of her gesture. Never. I know she lives in Belgrade. I could not locate her yet. She's married. No, she doesn't have children. I know she's involved in international business. That's all I know. Then I remember that other scrawny guy, hated, feared. He had more enemies than hairs on his head. He was not a member of Sanhedrin, not a member of synagogue. He was not loved, not respected. He didn't belong to Jesus' club. He was not just tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. He taught others how to cheat well. He was the head of IRS. Luke 19. Thief, scum of Israel. So he climbed the trees. And Jesus passing by there. And if there are 360 degrees in one circle, there is impossible number of degrees in a sphere. And Jesus could have looked in any of those directions. He just happens like Barbara to look in the direction on that tree. Zacchaeus felt he was hidden, but you cannot hide from love. He looks at him and publicly says, "Today, I am going to eat in your house. Don't sit on that limb." And he goes in verses 8 and 9 in Luke 19 says how, and I imagine Zacchaeus with almost foaming at his mouth saying, I'm going to pay everything hundredfold and everything, happy that Jesus accepted him. At least he could speak. I couldn't do even that. Unlovable, unworthy. And God jeopardizes his reputation because he knows that we all need a second chance. And because he wants to revive in us a will to live and meaning to life. And because he wants to revive in us a taste for what is noble, good, pure, right and honorable. Bruised reed he will not break. Isaiah 42 verse 3. Because he knows that when he loves us, the changes happen so deep that we cannot. It takes 30 years for me. It took me 30 years to put the finger on the cause that changed my life like that. Never did she dream that Jesus used her as evangelistic tool to save me. Love is never wasted. Love works silently from within. So when I knew the answers, and when written exams would come, and the teacher started distributing grades, and whenever a teacher, because we had several teachers, we had one principal teacher, but every subject had a different teacher. And when they started returning grades, they always, with amazement and pleasure, turned my grade, and sometimes they said, "Congratulations." Sometimes I was on the top of a class, and they were all amazed. And at the midterm of that seventh grade, now in Serbia, the principal instructor came in and said, "We have to admit a fourth student in the A club. Now we have two boys and two girls." And we were in the same club, studying together. And we were used as tutors for other students in the class. One day, I started being chosen to play games now. Not because I'm a good player, but I'm Barbara's friend. And that was the day. The first time they chose me, it had to happen. Murphy lived even in Yugoslavia at that time. I just had to faint that day. There was not enough fuel. And the game stopped, and when I woke up, here are the faces of teachers and Barbara's face there. And I came to, they gave me juice and so on, and I was, the recess was over, but I was left out under the tree and sitting on a bench and Barbara stayed by and quizzed me. And she says, you are very hungry. No, no, no. What did you have for breakfast? I lied. I was not ethicist at that time. I didn't teach ethics then. And she says, no, 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 no. So she went to the classroom and for a main recess, some would bring apple, some would bring sandwich, somebody would bring something. And I brought never anything because I was never hungry. She brought me her sandwich and she had to take the pork out. And I had to eat it. And next day she brought twice for her and me. Either apple or orange or something. And then she had birthday. And I have never been to Philistines' parties. And she surely believed that I would go, and I didn't go. She didn't get that party with me. When we were in eighth grade, she continued her friendship with me, never asking anything from me except for that birthday party that she asked. And few days before that birthday party, her mother came. I was working already part-time in watchmaking with my brother-in-law. And so she knew where to find me. And she took me out and she talked to me about Barbara. And she said, listen, you have your plans and whatever, and I respect that. But after that, when you go to high school, she will probably go to different high school than you and so on. Why don't you come? So I told her that I cannot. Why not? I said, well, because there is beer and there is dancing. No beer, no dancing. We'll change it for you. But come. But then I still hesitated. She says, listen, here it is. And out of the bag, she gave me the gift that I am supposed to have bought for her, for Barbara. So I couldn't resist. I went. And she was a happy girl. And when we went for trips and whatever, she would bring stuff and never tempting me, just being there for me. Good Philistine. So, I could give her very little. I did give her gratitude and friendship and respect and admiration. Because she was beautiful and she was good. And you don't find that very often. Even Lucifer had a hard time with that. He came to his own, and his own people received him not. They spat on him, they betrayed him, they denied him, they killed him. And love does not give up. It's bad business, but it's never wasted. Now I have four requests for you. First one, if you ever meet Barbara, express to her my gratitude. There are some people in the Belgrade church that heard this sermon and they vowed they will find Barbara for me. Because I really need to tell her what that means. And I would like to see her in heaven. Second request. If you see someone lonely in the church, poor, with his mother's slippers and socks, shy, a newcomer, put your hand on the shoulder of a person like that. Encouraging, disheartened, noticing the unpopular, giving hope to hopeless, respecting the losers. That's what Jesus did. And Barbara didn't even know how Christ-like she was. Third, if you're tired of loving son or daughter, husband or wife, members, just keep on loving. Because if you give up on love, you are giving up on hope. You're giving up on the most powerful agent of change. The deeper, the most effective agent of change. Fourth one. If you feel poor and lonely and loser, chronic failure, please test the power of love. Let people love you. I did not allow her. She was faithful for those 2 years. Remember, love works silently from within. You might not even notice that you have won some victories because you are loved. Like I didn't notice. Remember, there are no hopeless cases for God. Remember Zacchaeus and Samaritan woman and Abraham and Solomon. And remember Barbara and remember Miroslav. No, maybe it's better to remember someone infinitely more patient and beautiful, but of different kind of beauty. And he asks you for friendship. And then when you are silent, then he looks in the eyes and says, "Would you?" That's Adventism. And I love it. Why don't we sing "When Peace Like a River"? And I like in particular, I think it's third and fourth stanza, "My Sin." Oh, the joy of this glorious thought. And then, "Oh Lord," how does it go, the last stanza? "Haste the day when my faith shall be sight." Anybody who knows how to play piano? If not, then let's just do it. Who will start?
"Peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever thy glad thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, with my soul. With my soul. It is well. Of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul." with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, is the day when my faith shall be sighed. The crowd will roll back like a straw. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. It is so, it is well with my soul. It is well
with my soul.
With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Lord, it is well because you took a risk. You're risking it every moment, and we don't give you back too much. And we don't even see what use it is for you to do stuff that you are doing, because you do not want thanks and praise, and you are just rejoicing and smiling each time when our life has changed for good. Oh Lord, help us to understand that it is really cheap compared to just how much it's costing to save one soul with just one touch. And that money is not the only expression of value. That soul is really more expensive, incomparably more expensive. I ask you to bless Barbara. I ask you to do stuff in her that she doesn't know it's happening. Prove yourself to her in spite of her willingness or non-willingness. And all the Barbaras in the world, Lord, teach us to know how to be like you. Change us and then come soon. In your name we ask. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.